Turn back to Luke 10. This may be a parable. It may be an account of what actually happened to a certain man, as our Lord said in verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. So this may be a parable, but it may be something that actually took place. But what makes the story of great importance to me, and I believe to you, is the fact that our Lord, our Master, gave this account. And he gave this account to a man who had inquired of him, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now let's look back at verse 25 and find out something about this man. He was a certain lawyer, that is, he was a scribe. In the Jewish nation, where it says these men were lawyers, they were teachers of the law. They were scribes and teachers of the law. And this man's request was not a genuine request. It didn't come from an honest heart at all. It says here, a certain lawyer, a scribe, teacher of the law, stood up and tempted him. His purpose was to test Christ in front of all these people, to try him, to see whether Christ would deny the law or say anything against the law of Moses. They were always trying to trap him in his speech. That's what the scripture said. But his question was consistent with what he believed. Notice what he asked. Master, what shall I do? Give me a work to do. Give me a task to perform to inherit eternal life. What shall I do? He was seeking salvation by law, by works, by ceremony. Just like this Pharisee who stood in the temple and said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I'm not like this publican. I do certain things. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ knows the motives of all men. He knows the thoughts of all men. He knew what was in this man's mind. And so our Lord is going to allow this man to interpret the law himself. He's going to allow this man to choose the ground on which he'll stand. And so he asked him, how do you read? What's written in the law? How do you interpret what's written in the law? And the man answered. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. He didn't recite the Ten Commandments, but he recited what our Lord said was a summary of all the law. Where did he get this? I told you he was a student of the Scriptures. Turn to Deuteronomy 6. Here's where he got it. This was part of the daily recitations taken from the book of Deuteronomy by which they taught their children. Deuteronomy 6. Listen to this in verse 5. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Daily recitations. thou shalt love, that's what he answered. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. Where did he get this, and thy neighbor is thyself? That's not written there. Wait a minute, but Leviticus. You have to turn to another passage. Leviticus chapter 19. This man was a student of the Scriptures. A man was depending upon his goodness and morality, the law, the ceremony, the sacrifices, and the fact he was a Jew, recommend him to God. In Luke, in Leviticus 19:16, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. You keep my statutes. So when our Lord Jesus said, how do you interpret the law? This man interpreted it. Interpreted it. And then our Lord said in verse 28, and he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Love God with all your heart, all your heart. Love God with all your soul. Love God with all your strength and all your mind and your neighbors yourself, and you'll inherit eternal life. You'll earn it on the basis of perfection. That's true. Our Lord said this is a summary of the whole law of God. Every law of God summed up right here. But no man's ever done that. No man's ever done that. And instead of this fellow just throwing his hands up and saying, well, it's impossible. Impossible. I'll never, never have eternal life. Impossible for me to love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and my neighbors, myself. But, listen, verse 29, and here is the problem with this, this man and the whole human race. He willing to justify himself. And that's what we do. Turn to Luke 16. This is what our Lord charged us with. We justify, we hunt a loophole. We hunt a loophole. In Luke 16, verse 15, he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. But God knows your hearts. And that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. God looks not on the outward countenance, he looks on the heart. But we're willing to justify ourselves. And this poor man, out of his own mouth came the truth. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbors yourself. That's God's perfect law. And that came out of his own mouth. But here, he's looking for a loophole. He's looking for a way around the law. And he says, well, who is my neighbor? He just disregarded loving God with all his heart and mind. He's going to get around this thing by, like the Pharisee said, I keep the law outwardly. Who is my neighbor? You know, the old Jews worked this thing over, finding loopholes. Let me show you an illustration of this. Turn to the book of Mark. They interpreted the law. They Mark chapter 7. They looked for loopholes so that they could measure up. In Luke chapter, Mark chapter 7. Mark 7. Begin with verse 10. He's speaking to these fellows like this lawyer, these Pharisees, religious leaders. And he said, now Moses said, honor your father and your mother. And whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. In other words, what Moses' law says there, take care of your parents. Even in their old age, be sure that they have food to eat, shelter over their heads, clothes to wear. This was back before Social Security and welfare and all these things. And these people, the Jews, were commanded to take care of the old folks. See that they were cared for. Honor, respect, care for. Take care of your mom and dad. All the way till their life journey's over and they leave this earth. And these old fellows, some of them had some money, some property. These old lawyers and Pharisees and scribes and religious leaders. So how are they going to get around this when the mother and father come and says, we need rent money and we need grocery money and we need these things and you have it, and we need it. How are they going to get around it? Well, verse 11 tells you how they got around it. But you say, if a man shall say to his father and mother, it's Corban. What's Corban? It's money set aside for sacred purposes. And there was these fellows were ministering about the temple and about religious matters and all. And what they'd say when the mother and dad came to them and said, we need grocery money, we need rent money, we need these things. They'd say, well, this money is dedicated to God. What I have is dedicated to God and to the service of God and to the work of God. And so it says over in the scriptures, you know, over there in Leviticus 1 and 2, that if it's dedicated to God, you can't use it for any other purpose. So I'm sorry. That's right. So I kept my money. So you say it is Corban. That is, it's a gift. It was given to me to use solely and on purpose for the work of God, and I can't share it with you. By whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. In other words, you can't have it. Therefore, I'm free. I'm free from this obligation because it's the Lord's money. And I can't share it with you. And verse 12 says, and you suffer him no more to do aught for his mother or father or his mother. You make the word of God of non-effect through your traditions, which you have delivered, and many such like things do you. You found a way around the word of God. And I'll grant you, go back to my text now, back here to Luke 10. I grant you, this is exactly what this man was trying to do. He asked the Lord, now what shall I do to find favor with God? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And our Lord said, well, you tell me. How do you read the law? Oh, he said, the law says, I shall love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Our Lord said, all right, do it.
Who's my neighbor?
See, the old Jews, this is what they said. The Jews' concept of a neighbor was a Jewish neighbor. An Israelite. That's right. They were not required to love a Gentile. They were not required to help a Gentile. One of their writers actually said this. John Gill is an authority on these Jewish writings. And he said one of their writers actually wrote, if a Gentile falls into the sea, you're not required to take him up. That's what that Samaritan woman said to our Lord. Don't you know? The Jews have no dealings, no feelings, or dealings, or concern for the Gentile. And that's exactly what this fellow was doing, looking for a way around. But you can't get around his law. And that's what he gives us here in this illustration. That's what he gives us in this illustration. There was a certain Jew. He was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. And who came by first? Well, a priest came by first. You know what a priest is. A priest represents the sacrifices, represents killing the lambs, burning the incense, taking it into the Holy of Holies. Priest, he went around the fellow. He didn't have to do anything for that man. The Levite went around him. But here came a Samaritan, a hated Samaritan. And he ministered to the man. And then our Lord said to this guy, "Who's the neighbor?" Well, he said, "The one that ministered to him." "You go do likewise." Can't do it. An impossibility. This impossibility to love our God with all our hearts and our neighbors ourselves. So what do we need? We need a helper, don't we? We need a redeemer. We need one who can be neighbor. And that's what this illustration is here. So let's take it and look at it that way. This is a picture of him who did for me what I couldn't do for myself. Him who is my neighbor. Who is my friend. All right. Let's look at verse 30. Verse 30. "And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho." I tell you who that certain man was. It was our father, Adam. He went down from Jerusalem. That's the city of God. The city of God. He went down to Jericho, a city of wickedness. Adam fell. And he fell among thieves. Who were these thieves? Satan, fallen angels. He fell among thieves. They stripped him. They stripped him of his beauty. They stripped him of his holiness. They stripped him of his righteousness. They stripped him of his raiment. And left him. They wounded him. They pierced him with many sorrows. They stripped him and they wounded him. They brought upon him sickness and sorrow and disease and death. They wounded him, afflicted him, and they left him. Well, it says here, half dead. But as I've said to many people, a story cannot walk on four legs. It cannot be perfect. If it's an earthly story, it cannot perfectly illustrate heavenly truth. This man was left half dead because if he'd been completely dead, the Samaritan couldn't do anything for him. But I tell you, we were left dead, and our Samaritan can do something for us. We were left dead. But this man's half dead. He's unconscious. He's unable to help himself. He's unable to do anything. And verse 31, watch this. "And by chance, there came down a certain priest. And this priest was forbidden to touch a dead body. And he looked at this man and considered he probably was dead, lying there unconscious in the ditch. And so this priest just walked on the other side. But I tell you this, the sacrifices and the ceremonies and the blood offerings and sin offerings cannot help us, cannot put away our sins. Cannot atone for our guilt, can they? So the priest couldn't help him. And he went around on the other side. He didn't want to help him, but he couldn't help him. And the Levite, what does the Levite represent? It represents all the law. Turn to Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10. It represents all the law. The law cannot help us because we've broken the law. What the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. Hebrews 10 verse 1. "The law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged would have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there's a remembrance again made of sin every year. It's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin." There Adam lies in the ditch. Stripped, naked to his shame, wounded with all kind of afflictions, and dead. And the sacrifices come by and can't help him. And the law comes by and can't help him. Law can't help him. But look at verse 33. but a certain Samaritan as he journeyed. Now, I don't want to weary you and make this illustration too thin, but this is beautiful. Listen, he came by. It says, and he went, he says, he went where he was. Our Lord Jesus Christ came where we are. He came into this world. Jesus Christ came into this world. He who made the world was in the world. The world knew him not, but he came where we are. Made of a woman. Made under the law. Took upon himself the form of a servant. Came where he was. And listen to the next line. And he looked on him. He saw him. Like Hagar when she moved away from the lad and she heard the voice. She said, "Thou God seest me." God sees his people. He looked on him. He said, "When I passed by you to the deserted infant, I saw you. I saw you wounded. I saw you in your blood. I saw you. It was a time of love." He says he came where he was and looked on him. Looked on him. Had compassion on him. He saw him. He had compassion on him. He loved him. Christ loved us when we didn't love him. And no capacity for which to love him. No desire to love him. And listen. And he went to him. He went to him and bound up his wounds. In Luke chapter 4, turn over there a minute. When our Lord spoke to the people in Nazareth about his person and work and his ministry, he summed it up in this way in Luke 4:18. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised." He went to him and bound up his wounds. Bound up his wounds. Now verse 34, listen. "And poured in oil and wine." What does the oil and wine represent here? The oil, I know, is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit to comfort. And the wine, this man's lying there wounded and bleeding. And he had on his beast there, this Samaritan had wine and he had oil. And these wounds needed to be treated. And so he treated them with oil to soothe and wine to kill the infection. The alcohol poured in the wine to kill the infection. And our Lord Jesus Christ came where we were. He saw us. He had compassion on us. He went to us. He bound up our wounds and he poured in the Spirit of grace and the blood to cleanse. The Spirit of God to comfort and his blood to cleanse. And then he lifted him up. Listen to verse 34. He lifted him up and put him on his own beast. Like the shepherd found the sheep and picked him up and put him on his shoulders. And he brought him. Where did he bring him? He brought him to an inn. What is an inn? Well, an inn is a place with plenty of rooms. And an inn is a place with provisions, food and shelter and a warm fire, a place to rest, a bed to lie down in, hospitality. Inns usually have innkeepers, folks that prepare food. An inn is a protection from the storm. An inn has other guests for fellowship and communion. So to say our Lord found this wounded man and went to him and loved him and bound up his wounds and poured in oil and wine and put him on his beast and brought him. You know where he brought him? Brought him to the church. To the church. Church is a place with plenty of room for wounded folks. For hurt folks. for weary folks, for sinners. And a church is a place with some innkeepers so you can be fed. And a church is a place where you can rest. And his church is a place where you find hospitality and a welcome. And a place where you find fellowship with other wounded people. And a place where you have protection from the storms. Someone to help you. You're in your trouble, where you're not alone. He brought him there. Brought him there. And verse 35 says, and on the morrow, he was going to depart. That's the picture of our Lord. He's going to depart. He took out 2 pence and gave to the innkeeper. Now, who is the innkeeper? He's the pastor. He's the elders. Those who teach and preach and those who have the rule and those who are in positions of leadership and authority like the innkeeper. And he took out these 2 pence. What are these 2 pence? I believe they represent the Old Testament and the New Testament. A believer needs the Word of God. That's what a believer, that's the children's bread. That's what they need for their revelation of God. This is what they need for instruction in righteousness. This is what they need for food, for comfort, for increase in faith, for growth. They need the Word. And so he took the Word. He gave them the Old Testament and the New Testament. Mr. Gill said, like a mother has 2 breasts for the baby. Comfort and nourishment. And when you look and see a mother holding a little infant in her arms and feeding that little infant, there is no time or place when that infant is more peaceful and happy and adjusted when he's feeding on those breasts. And when our Lord left, he came down here and redeemed his people. He came down here and found us in the ditch. He's our enemy. See, this Samaritan's the enemy of that Jew. That Jew thinks he's his enemy. But he's his friend. And he comes there, came where he was. He didn't pass by like the law did, and pass by like the sacrifice, and pass by like the priest and the Levite. They can't help you. Religion can't help you. So they just pass by. They'll take whatever you have, but they can't help you. But he came where he was. He saw him. Saw him in his mess. Oh, what a mess. And he loved him. And he bound up his wounds, and he poured in oil, and he comfort, and poured in, make those wounds to be softer, and poured in wine to kill that infection. And then he lifted him. And put him, he did it all. Put him on his beast and brought him to his house. And there he took care of him. But then he went away. He said, I'll go away, but I won't leave you comfortless. I'll come again. And he left him in charge of these elders. And he said, now here's all you need. Right here. Now you take care of him. You feed him. You feed him. You comfort him. You take care of him. If you look here, and I like this right here. He says, if you spend more, whatever, of your time, of your money, of your heart, or whatever, I'm coming again. I'll repay you. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. Now then, he turns to this man. He said, which now of these 3 thinkest thou was really the neighbor to the man that fell among the thieves? Who's the neighbor? Who's the neighbor? Well, he said, he that showed mercy on him. And our Lord said, well, you go do likewise. And here's what he's saying to you and to me. People he found. He was neighbor to us. Turn to Ephesians 4. This is what he's saying to us. You go do what your Lord did. Go do what your Lord did. This is not just to, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And this is not just folks that are in the brotherhood. This is to all people with whom we come in contact. Verse 32 said, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, hath had mercy upon you and me, and compassion. Go thou and do likewise." All right, let's turn in our hymn books to number 459. 459, "He lifted me," 459. We'll stand together while we sing.